Hey everyone, welcome back. We're diving deep into the book of Amos today, specifically the social sins this prophet condemned, and we'll be using Dr. Gary Yates' lectures on the minor prophets as our guide.
So we're in the 8th century BC northern kingdom of Israel. They're really experiencing this golden age under King Jeroboam the second. Borders are expanding. Trade is just flourishing. Imagine like bustling marketplaces, just like tons of exotic goods everywhere.
That does sound pretty idyllic. But like a storm on the horizon, Amos arrives with a message that kind of just shatters this whole picture of peace and prosperity. He even depicts God as a roaring lion just filled with fury. What could have made God that angry?
Well, Dr. Yates says that underneath this success, a rot is taking hold of spiritual decay, and it's fueled by their prosperity.
It's kind of fascinating, isn't it, that abundance can cause spiritual blindness? It's almost a paradox. Like, shouldn't blessings bring us closer to the source of those blessings?
You would think, right. But Dr. Yates suggests that it's human nature to forget the source of our blessings, especially when things are good. He even compares it to Deuteronomy, where Moses is warning the Israelites that when they finally get to the promised land, they're probably going to forget God who saved them from slavery. It's kind of a sobering thought.
Yeah, it is. It makes you wonder if we do the same thing today. But getting back to Amos, one of the most striking things is when he calls out the wealthy women of Samaria, he calls them the cows of Bashan. Not exactly a flattering image. Why cows and why Bashan?
It's a brilliant imagery, actually. Bashan was known for its incredible pastures and prize cattle. So it immediately makes you think of excess and luxury. These women are living the high life, oblivious to everyone around them.
So it's not about how they look. It's their lifestyle.
It's exactly. Dr. Yates really emphasizes that these women don't have a weight problem. They have a prosperity problem. Their wealth is a barrier between them and God, a distraction from their obligations. And what's worse is how their wealth fuels their oppression of the poor. Amos describes them lounging on ivory beds, eating fancy foods, demanding more and more wine from their husbands, all while ignoring the suffering of their own people.
It's like that saying, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Okay.
This cycle that just keeps going. But Amos doesn't stop there, does he? He predicts a pretty bad end for these women.
Yeah, he describes them being led away into exile with hooks through their noses or mouths, just like the Assyrian captives you see in those old reliefs. It's a reminder that ignoring those in need when you have the means to help has consequences.
It's a powerful warning for sure. And it makes me think, who would Amos target if he were speaking today? Who are the modern cows of Bashan? It's something to think about.
For sure. But Amos doesn't stop there. He also has strong words for those who are at ease in Zion. He uses the phrase woe to, which sounds kind of old-fashioned to us, but Dr. Yates says it's basically an ancient death announcement, like saying you're spiritually dead even though you're walking around.
So who are these people who are at ease in Zion? What did they do to deserve that?
Amos is talking about the people living lavish lifestyles while their nation's about to collapse. They're having huge feasts, lounging on ivory beds, writing songs, anointing themselves with oils, basically living the good life, totally detached from the suffering around them. And what's really disturbing is that they just don't care about what's coming.
Almost like they're in denial about what's right in front of them. But Dr. Yates also points out this Hebrew word, mirza, that Amos uses. What's so important about that word?
Mirza doesn't just mean extravagant parties. It also suggests pagan feasts with immorality and idol worship.
Cool.
So it's not just enjoying wealth. It's about wealth replacing God, leading to the exploitation of others.
So there's a pattern. Both the cows of Bashan and those at ease in Zion let their wealth become an idol, and that leads them to exploit and oppress those around them. But Dr. Yates says Amos's message goes deeper than that. He sees a major theme of failing to be just to the poor and needy.
Right, and that's where Amos's message becomes even more relevant today.
Yeah.
Because when wealth becomes an idol, it twists our values, and we start justifying injustice to get more wealth.
And in the next part of our deep dive, we'll look closer at how that plays out in Amos and what it means for us today. So we were talking about how wealth became like an idol in ancient Israel, which led to all these social injustices. But how does Amos connect this to like the structure of their whole society?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. In Amos chapter 2, he gives this whole list of social sins that were happening all over Israel. Selling the righteous for silver, trampling the poor, turning aside the afflicted.
That's pretty intense. It's like their need for wealth just totally wiped out any compassion or justice. But I was struck by how hypocritical they were. Amos describes these rich Israelites worshiping in the sanctuary, but they're using clothes taken from the poor as cushions.
Yeah, that's a powerful detail, right? It's like they're trying to serve God, but at the same time, they're stepping on those God cares about most. Their actions and their beliefs are totally disconnected.
So true worship isn't just about going through the motions. It's about living what you believe.
Exactly. Amos says it pretty clearly in chapter 5. Seek God and seek good, establish justice in the gate. He wants them to go beyond empty rituals and have a faith that's rooted in justice and compassion.
And then he paints this picture of justice flowing like water and righteousness, like a never-ending stream. It's such a powerful image.
Uh-huh.
But how does that vision of justice compare to what was actually happening in Israel back then?
Well, Dr. Yates says that Amos is basically holding up a mirror to them. He's comparing how they are now with God's original plan for a just society, which you find in the Torah.
Now, I'm curious about that connection to the Torah. Does Dr. Yates talk about any specific laws that back up this idea of social justice?
He does. He goes really deep into the laws of the Torah, specifically the ones in Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Leviticus, that show how much God cares about the poor and vulnerable. And even by today's standards, these laws are amazing.
Like what kind of laws are we talking about?
Laws that say you have to return cloaks you took as pledges, make sure the poor get fair trials, cancel debts every 7 years, let the poor glean from the fields free debt, slaves don't charge interest to fellow Israelites, and be kind to widows and orphans. It's like a plan for a society that takes care of everyone.
Wow. Even today, that's pretty radical. To think that God was laying out these ideas about social justice thousands of years ago.
It is pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
It all comes from this idea that the blessings of the promised land are meant to be shared. No one should be poor in God's community. Deuteronomy 15.4 actually says there shouldn't be any poor among God's people.
That's a pretty incredible vision. Of course, even now there's still poverty. But does the Torah say anything about that?
It does. It says that poverty is probably going to stick around, which means it's even more important to be generous to those in need.
That part in Deuteronomy 15.14 really sticks with me, where God tells the Israelites to be generous because they were once slaves in Egypt, saved by God's grace. It's like he's calling them to be empathetic, to remember where they came from, and let that shape how they treat others.
Exactly. It's like a reminder that our blessings aren't something we earn. They're a gift from God. But the challenge is, how do we take those ancient laws and ideas and apply them to today?
That's the big question, right? We may not live in ancient Israel or have the same laws, but the ideas behind those laws are still important. So what does Dr. Yates say about how we can use Amos's message in our lives?
He says that Amos's message isn't just for back then. It's like a mirror for us today. It reflects the same social sins that are messing up our world corporate greed. Materialism addiction, moral confusion, self-righteousness, and a lack of care for the poor and marginalized.
It's easy to see the similarities. We want bigger houses and nicer cars, but the gap between the rich and the poor keeps getting bigger. And it's not just about stuff. It's about our values, this need for more and more, this obsession with success, no matter what the cost.
And Dr. Yates points out some scary parallels between the sins in Isaiah 5:8-22 and the problems we have today. It's kind of freaky how these old words seem to be talking directly to us in the 21st century.
So if Amos was preaching now, what do you think he'd say?
I think he would tell us to look at ourselves and ask some tough questions. Like, where are we blind to social justice? How are we contributing to systems that keep inequality going?
That's something to think about for sure. But just feeling bad or giving some money once isn't enough, is it?
Nope. It takes a bigger change. A change in how we think. A willingness to see the world through the eyes of those who are struggling to actually listen to their stories and help them be heard.
And that's tough, right? To challenge the way things are, especially when we benefit from it, means giving up some of our own privilege and comfort. But isn't that what following Jesus is about? To go outside our comfort zone and help those who need it.
Absolutely. And Dr. Yates says this isn't just some extra thing we can do if we want. It's at the core of what it means to follow God, to be people who show his love and justice in the world.
He makes a good point about why social justice may be declining in Christianity today. He says one reason could be that we're ignoring the Old Testament.
I think he might be right. How can we really get the message of Jesus without understanding the prophets who came before him?
It makes you want to dig deeper, right? To really engage with books like Amos and let them change how we see faith and social responsibility.
That's where real growth happens, when we push ourselves outside our comfort zones and let these old words challenge our ideas and make us want to do something.
Well, this deep dive into Amos has definitely given me a lot to think about. How about you? What really hit home for you about Amos's message?
Maybe it's that picture of justice flowing like water in righteousness, like a river that never ends. Maybe it's a new commitment to hear the voices of those who are struggling to fight against systems that oppress people. Or just be more compassionate and generous every day.
Whatever it is, I hope you hold on to it and let it guide your actions and become someone who makes a positive difference in the world. And remember, you can always go back to Amos and keep finding new wisdom in it.
Don't forget, the prophets weren't just writing about the past. They're calling us to action, now challenging us to build a world where justice and righteousness win.
Thanks for being with us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep searching, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming, right? Like this call to action, this trying to actually live what we believe. Where do we even start? It's a journey, right? Not just like a one-time thing. And Dr. Yates has some good ideas about where to start. He says we got to ask ourselves the hard questions, like what are we blind to when it comes to justice? Where are we falling short of what the Bible says? And what can we actually do to change things in our lives and our communities?
I like that he's not trying to make us feel guilty or saying, just give some money and you're good. It's about a much deeper change, changing how we see the world and being willing to see things from the perspective of those who are struggling.
Yeah, he says we need to listen to their stories, make sure their voices are heard, and challenge the systems that cause injustice.
Which can be hard, right? Like going against the way things are, especially when it benefits us, means giving up some of our own comfort and privilege.
Yeah.
But isn't that what it means to follow Jesus? To step outside our comfort zone and help those in need.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Dr. Yates reminds us that this isn't just some extra thing we can do if we feel like it's at the heart of what it means to follow God, to be people who show his love and justice in the world.
He brings up a really interesting point about why social justice seems to be declining in Christianity these days. He thinks one reason might be that we're ignoring the Old Testament.
You know, I think there's something to that. How can we really understand what Jesus is saying if we don't understand the prophets who came before him?
Yeah, it makes you want to dig deeper into those texts, right? Like really get into books like Amos and let them change how we think about faith and responsibility.
Yeah, that's where real growth happens.
Yeah.
When we step outside of what's comfortable and let these old words challenge us and inspire us to actually do something.
Well, this deep dive into Amos has definitely given me a lot to think about. What about you? What really stuck with you from exploring Amos's message?
I don't know, maybe that image of justice flowing like water and righteousness, like a river that never ends. Or maybe it's just a reminder to listen to those who are marginalized, to fight against oppression, or even just to be more compassionate and generous in our everyday lives.
Whatever it is, I hope you hold on to it and let it affect how you live and become someone who makes the world a better place. And remember, you can always go back to Amos and keep learning from it.
Right, those prophets weren't just talking about the past. They're calling us to action now, to build a world where justice and righteousness win.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep searching, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.